Our scripture reading today is 1 Kings 19, 9 through 18. Can be found in your pew Bible on page 311 in the large print Bible, which I'm using, yes, starts on page 404 and is on the screen. At that place, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." The word of the Lord.
Let us turn to the gospel. If you are comfortable standing, I invite you to do so. Just prior to this pericope, Jesus has been feeding the 5,000. You remember that story, you remember what occurred. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came, walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." I'm going to end there instead with verse 28. The word of the Lord.
Now I invite you to get comfortable. The sermon's about 45 minutes long. Paul Kotke broke into it, got us started on it, so we'll just go down that road. No, I won't do that. If you thought of your favorite Bible character, thought of all the people, all the names, even the ones Krista read this morning, all the Bible names of all those people, what would your favorite be? How many of you would say Elijah was your favorite? Yeah, not me either. Elijah's an interesting character, though. Elijah is one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. He's somewhere there between Moses and Jesus. He's kind of this interesting prophet. He's not the Jeremiah that wears a yoke around his neck, but he was pretty outspoken and he was pretty beat up about stuff. He's in the northern kingdom that Israel had been broken into half by this point in time, and the northern kingdom, the king Ahab and his wife Jezebel. There's a Jezreel and a Jezebel. I've been gone for 3 weeks. Give me a break here. Give me a minute. Jezebel followed the Canaanite worship system. They worshipped Asherah and Baal, these pagan gods, and it was a pretty grim religion. There were child sacrifices and things that were just abysmal, just horrible things. And the people were gradually being turned from worship of Yahweh, of the Lord, to these Canaanite gods. Part of it was because Jezebel, she had this, the court, she hired and paid priests to be in her court. A whole bunch of 50-some-odd priests, and they were just in the middle of teaching this. And, you know, when the whole country's behind one thing and seems to be saying the same sort of thing, it's hard to be the lone voice dissenting. Any of you know that feeling? Any of you know what that means to have everybody go in one direction and you're kind of not agreeing with them and you want to speak out and say, this isn't right? It's hard to do, but it's the right thing, and we're learning that that's the case. This is where Elijah was. He was the one that spoke out. And he said, you guys are chasing a God that is a set of gods that are just false gods. In fact, he says, I'll challenge you to a duel. Do you remember the story, the duel between the priests of Baal and between Elijah? He says, let's have a contest. We'll make our burnt offering pyres. We'll build up this wood pyre and put a bull on it and we'll burn the bull. But instead of lighting it ourselves, we'll call on our God to come down and light it for us. So he says, you guys go first. So he turns to the priests of Baal. And they build this elaborate, beautiful funeral pyre, this burnt offering pyre, and they put the bull on top of it. And they dance around it and they say, Baal, come down and light this. And they dance all day long. And they dance till they can't walk. And they're just exhausted and nothing. So he said, now it's my turn. And so he builds the pyre kind of by himself. He puts 12 stones around it, representing the 12 tribes of Egypt. He builds the pyre. He puts the bull on top of it. Then he has a ditch dug around the outside of it. My mouth is not on board yet today, is it? Give me a couple weeks. It'll come back to us. But he has this trench dug around his offering. And then he orders water brought, and they pour the water over everything. They're going to light this on fire. And they're soaking it with water. And they pour so much water on it that the wood is soaked and the trench is full of water. And he turns and he prays to God, and God lights it on fire, and he burns up the bull and he burns up the wood. He burns up the stones. He takes and evaporates away the water and he kills the priests. Jezebel still says, no, I'm not going to convert over. I'm going to stay. So Elijah has to make a run for it. He has to go and he has to hide. And he hides and it's an awful thing. He's doing God's work, but he's starving, he's dying of thirst, and so God sends birds to bring him food and to bring him nourishment, to keep him alive. And he survives that way for a while, and then God says, go to this widow and her son, I'll show you where to go. So he follows directions and comes to the widow and he says, the Lord has directed you to feed me. She says, I only have enough meal for one meal. I know that could be made into a pun, but it isn't there. She has a jar of meal to make bread and a little bit of oil to make it, and so they can cook their final dinner. And she says, it's all I have. She says, but I will cook this and we will eat this and die. And he says, no, because you have served the Lord, you will be blessed by the Lord, and you will never run out of meal or oil. And indeed, her pantry is never empty. So this is Elijah. This has got to be a tough life, though. Can you imagine? You don't know where your next meal's coming from. You got to go and go to a widow to get fed. And finally, we come to the passage that we read this morning. He goes to a cave and he is exhausted. He's physically exhausted. He's emotionally exhausted. Perhaps he's spiritually exhausted. Do any of you know what that feels like? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you just feel like, like Elijah, you want to wrap your mantle around your head and just sit in a dark cave? If you haven't been there, God bless you. But he's sitting there and God comes to him. And you know what God says? He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, Elijah has a ready response. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken their covenants and thrown down their altars and killed the prophets with the sword. I alone am left. And they're seeking my life to take it away. Oh, woe is me. Oh, poor me. Oh, woe. He doesn't quite go on far, quite that far. But that's what he's doing. He's saying, poor me. Wah. And I've worked hard for you, God. How come I don't have a gold star and a feast before me? While I was on vacation, we were stuck in traffic 5 miles an hour with some of my very close friends on a middle of the interstate. Driving along in a car, up on one side, there's a bumper sticker and it says, God loves you, but God loves me best. And I read the bumper sticker and I thought about it, and traffic allowed me to kind of ease up next to it, and I glanced to my side and it was a woman driving. She's just driving along singing. And she got ahead of me and I read the bumper sticker again, and I got up next to her again and I thought, I hope she's just being humorous. I hope she's just laughing and having fun. But there's a certain sense, and Elijah kind of helps us remember that we think that we should be taken care of. We've been good, faithful people. We've done God's will. We've tried to do the right things. Where's our gold star? Where's our feast? Where's our nice punishment? Where's our bed of roses? Isn't that what Elijah's saying? They're trying to kill me. Look at me. And here I sit in this cave. Wah. So God says he's going to appear to Elijah. Now there was a great wind. The wind was so strong that it was splitting the mountains and rocks into pieces before the Lord. A wind breaking the rocks and shattering the mountains. Can you imagine that wind? Have you ever been in a tornado or a hurricane? Can you imagine a wind? But God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. You ever been in an earthquake? How many of you ever been in a serious earthquake? Scary. They're terrifying. It just, you want to, if you've ever been on ship and you want to get off and get your feet back on good old solid earth, after an earthquake you think, where did the solid earth go? It is just terrifying. It's horrifying. So here comes this earthquake and it shakes and it rattles, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. I've seen some sunsets this summer from some of the Pacific Northwest smoke clouds coming down. Beautiful sunsets. But my voice kind of got irritated and my eyes were all bugged because of the smoke. And I saw films of those fires, and we saw films of the fires in California, and we saw films of the fires in Venezuela now. Devastating. Frightening. Power of nature. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. It's interesting when we pause in here, we think there's sheer silence, and there really isn't. I mean, I can hear I guess it's the fan for the organ blowing. I can hear some of the sounds of life in some of us. And I was giving the sermon over at Jefferson Avenue this morning, and a motorcycle ran by down the street. And welcome to the city. When do we have those times of sheer silence? Not often enough, I'm afraid. We need to pause and we need to hear and we need to be aware of those. Montclair United Methodist Church, I bring you greetings from the pastor there. She's the hospice pastor. End of August, they will close the church. And my heart just ached. Because the community is full of families, and it's one of those reviving neighborhoods, new families moving in, new life, all of these things happening. Here's a beautiful place to do ministry and gather families and grow and build those connections, and they're closing. Somehow we've completely failed to do the ministry of Jesus Christ in that place. Maybe the Phoenix, maybe there will be death and resurrection. God grant that it be so. But it felt like one of those earthquakes. I was reminded that we're struggling as United Methodists to grow right now. Our churches aren't growing as much as they ought to be. This congregation needs to be bigger. Yes? All right, everybody go out and rent a baby. We'll figure it out. We'll get there. We're gaining. You have to know that we are growing. And it will take time, but we will get there because God is with us. Not to say God is not with those churches that are closing. And how shall we be? Smoky Hill, we got to visit with Kulia. This is Paya's, I don't know what her relation to Paya is, but it's a relation of Paya, a little girl. She comes in my office and harasses me periodically, and she didn't recognize me at Smoky Hill, but we sat right next to her. But we went to Hope United Methodist Church, and that was kind of fun. The senior pastor must have been on vacation. The associate was preaching, Pastor Stephanie. And she began to talk about kind of an analogy she had of her life and her goals and the way that things have been. It was like a Ferrari. She had set out to graduate from school with the best grades, and she did. And she set out to go to seminary and ace her way through seminary, and she did. And she was set out to do all these things. It's like a Ferrari traveling down the highway, just in perfect tune, just cruising. And she says, I came around a corner and there's this farmer on a tractor, this old man driving this tractor with a trailer. And I couldn't pass him. And I'm stuck behind this tractor. Put, 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 put. Who was it sings that song that hurts my motor to go so slow? James Taylor. And there she is in her Ferrari, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars worth, and horsepower just falling off the car because it's so powerful, and she's putting behind this old tractor and trailer and this old man. And the frustration grew, and finally she found a place where she could pass, and she got around that, and off she went. Not very far, she heard a strange noise and she knew it was a tire. So she pulled off. That's all right. Ever had a flat tire? How many of you have had a flat tire? You know, we carry extra tires, don't we? We have spare tires, we call them. On our cars. Gotta be, yeah, that too. We carry a... She gets out of her car and looks, and sure enough, she's got it. Two flat tires. How many of you carry two spares? Yeah, me neither. Nor did she. And there she was, by the side of the road. And she hears the tractor coming up the hill behind her. Put, 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 put. And he pulls off and he stops and he comes and he assures her he'll take care of her. Well, it was an analogy. She doesn't own a Ferrari. She's talking about all of us and all of our goals and our grand aspirations and our being the first of the first and the ones in the front of the line and the ones driving the Ferraris. And that driver's God. He's there. He's going to help. Not moving nearly as fast as that Ferrari, not moving quite as glamorously. Not the envy of the neighborhood, but solid as a rock. There's God. What are you doing here, Elijah? Here's Elijah in the cave. He wants the Ferrari. He deserves the Ferrari. What are you doing here? I know what you're made of, Elijah. I know you're going in and you're coming out. I know you're waking up and you're going to sleep. I know everything about you, Elijah, and you are not done yet. I know that there's something in you that I still need to use that you can still do. And I'm calling you now to go back to the country that you're fleeing from and name the king. And name all of those who will rule and change that nation in my name. What are you doing here, Elijah? Get back into the lion's den. I'm not through with you. And he's not through with us. You know, I was just sitting up here and my back is screaming at me. I think I'm not 36 anymore. And my back was complaining because I've been sitting all morning. All during vacation, I stayed fairly busy and kind of kept things limber. But, you know, anybody else having that problem? You sit for a minute and pretty soon your sitter is pretty well set. His hair's coming in are not the color that they were when I was 30-something. I don't know what the deal is on that either. And Lord, I've worked hard. I've been in ministry 30-some years. I've served churches and done things and married and buried and baptized and christened and counseled and done all the things. Where's my Ferrari and my gold star, Lord? Where's yours? What are we doing here where there are things to do? Take a look at Charlottesville. There are things wrong. There are people there that have a mindset that we need to talk to them. We don't need to go and tell them, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. We need to talk and listen and talk and bridge some of these gaps. You see, because we belong to the Prince of Peace. We belong to the one who teaches us and taught us and led us and continues to be at the core of this Christian nation. We need to be doing that work. And if Elijah didn't get a free pass to take a break, none of us do. That's okay. That's okay because you remember the other story we read this morning, that story about the disciples in the boat? They're exhausted after feeding the 5,000. That's a pretty big job. And they're in the boat and the waves are getting pretty darn big and it's getting pretty scary. And I mean, there's fear. Are we going to make it? What's happening next? And Jesus says, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. And he's saying that to us. And will continue to say that to us. May we respond as his faithful people. Amen.